Danger. It's dangerous.
Everybody come to the Breakfast Club. I call this the hot seat.
Y'all are wild. Can I live?
You are out of control. I can't even deal with you.
Y'all are so petty. Why are y'all so petty?
The world's most dangerous morning show. DJ Envy.
Captain of this bitch.
Angela Yee.
I stay in everybody's business, but in a good way.
Charlamagne the God.
The ruler of rubbing you the wrong way.
The Breakfast Club.
Made for everybody.
Good morning, USA.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
What's today, Tuesday?
Charlamagne the guy, what's up?
Yeah.
Let him get to the mic.
Hey,
all right.
Good it's morning, Tuesday.
Guys. Oh, it's Tuesday. It is Tuesday?
Yeah,
yesterday is Tuesday. Yesterday I was in Newark. I was doing this Young, Wild, and Financially Free. It was a Q&A. Mm-hmm. So it was just basically talking about getting yourself out of debt after college and how you managed to start investing in different things.
Okay.
So shout out to everybody who came out to Prudential Center in Newark.
Yesterday we took my son to the Yankees game. Of course, the Yankees are in the playoffs, so it was the fourth game yesterday. The Yankees won yesterday, I believe, 7-3. We left her out the beginning of the ninth inning. He was so happy about that. It was a great game. Weather was super duper warm. It was like humid and hot.
Hey, it's called climate change, baby.
But it was a dope game. So. Shout out to all the Yankee fans and everybody out there. Go Yankees. Next game, I believe, is tomorrow night in Cleveland. So hopefully the Yankees
win. I can't believe y'all still watch baseball, man. Baseball is such a trash-ass sport to me, man. I'm telling you, baseball was much better when everybody was on steroids. When people was on performance-enhancing drugs, baseball was a better sport.
It was pretty good. I mean, 7-3. I mean, Judge hit a double. Sanchez hit a home run. It was a great game. It was a good game.
We went to the All-Star game this year, too. That was interesting.
Yeah, All-Star game was fun, too. Yeah.
I don't know none of these people, man. If they're not on steroids and they don't look like Hulk Hogan out there, I don't know what's going on.
All right. Well, Black Eyed Peas will be joining
us
this morning.
Drop one of Clues Bombs for the Black Eyed Peas, okay? Very, very interesting individuals. Taboo, Apple,
mm-hmm.
Will.i.am. I've had conversations with Will.i.am before, and, of course, you know, my man Taboo, but... They are a very underrated group in hip-hop.
Okay.
Even if you don't like them musically, just the things that they're doing out here in society.
Oh, correct.
Doing as far as culture.
Well, the bad thing about hip-hop is we put everything in a box. You know, it's this box. That's too popish, so it can't go in a hip-hop box. Oh, that sounds like MC Hammer, so that's not... But no, at the end of the day, it's all hip-hop.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's...
It's all different variations of the music culture.
Well, let's be clear, that's all New York's fault. Okay, because New York artists and New York DJs historically didn't like anything that wasn't New York sounding.
No,
whether
we play
it was the
Booty
South,
Shake.
Y'all booed Outkast at the Source Awards.
Y'all say
okay,
y'all.
Okay, stop it. Y'all didn't like y'all didn't like the Jerry Curl dripping that the West Coast was doing. Okay, New York cannibalized anything that didn't have that boom bap sound. Y'all just got with the times.
It wasn't just
yeah, I don't know about that.
It's because this era of new York artists forced y'all to get
that wasn't
times.
This era. It was the era before this. It was the T.I.'s. It was
I remember West Coast
really
big.
This era of New York artists forced y'all to do it because their music shifted.
I remember when the Chronic and Snoop Dogg's albums were like the biggest albums out.
And I remember when East Coast artists, not East Coast artists, but a lot of East Coast people didn't like that. Oh, it's not real hip hop.
The West Coast stuff?
Yes.
No, that was the biggest thing.
You dudes in denim jeans shorts with construction Timberlands in the summertime.
They're still out there.
Stand it. They're still out there right
They're
now.
They're still out there. It was at Dominican. It was in Dominican Republic with me over the weekend. A lot of jean shorts and Timberlands.
Play M.O.P., yo.
All right, let's get the show cracking.
Peace, Prodigy. As you should, though.
Front page news, what are we talking about?
We are going to be talking about Texas Tech. A police officer was shot and killed. We'll tell you what happened.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
Let's get in some front page news. Now, in Monday Night Football, the Vikings beat the Bears 20-17. The Yankees beat Cleveland 7-3, tying the series 2-2. Game 5 is tomorrow. Now, let's talk about a Texas Tech shooting. What was going on, Yee?
Yes, this was at Texas Tech University. A police officer was shot and killed. They did get the suspect, Hollis Daniels. He's 19 years old. He's a freshman. They said he was apprehended after he fled on foot. Now, what happened was the campus police were sent to check on his welfare. When they went in his room, they found evidence of drugs. They found drug paraphernalia. They brought him to the police station. They were questioning him. And during that time, he pulled out a gun and shot an officer in the head. That officer has passed away. A very sad situation. And Right now, he is being held.
I'm telling you, lunatics like that make my anxiety go through the roof because your Uncle Charlotte tells you every day, all we're trying to do on this planet is avoid crazy.
Right.
I can never be responsible for somebody else's crazy. You could just be walking down the street minding your business, and these things happen in places where you're supposed to be at. Like these people that were at this concert in Vegas minding their business, these people on a campus at a school. Like, you can't be responsible for other people's crazy.
Not at all. What else are we talking about in front page
news? We're talking about the wildfires right now. There's deadly wildfires that are going across California. They're forcing evacuations. So far, we know that more than 10 people have died. That number, they do expect that number to grow. More than 100 people are being treated at Napa and Sonoma area hospitals. An estimated 1,500 structures have been destroyed. Mm. And 57,000 acres were burned in 8 different counties. I was actually looking at the pictures from Disneyland. It's all orange. Like, the whole entire sky is orange because of the fires.
Wow.
Some of those fires are only 10 miles away from Disneyland. And what they are saying is obviously it's the dry conditions that are causing these wildfires to spread, and only about 5% have been contained as of Monday night.
Wow. All right. Anything else we got in front page news?
We got some new Apple emojis.
Okay, tell us about them.
Well, now they have the gender neutral emojis. So these characters will come in a different range of skin tones, and it'll come in 3 age categories: children, adults, and seniors. They all have androgynous hairstyles and facial features.
By the way, that's kind of stupid. When I look at those emojis, I can't tell what they are to begin with. Like, what does that even mean? It's an emoji.
There's also an emoji of a woman breastfeeding, and then there's one.
How is that
genderless if they're breastfeeding?
Well, no, that's a different one. There's just new emojis out today, so you.
By
can
the way, those emojis that you're showing me right now look like every other emoji.
Does it?
As a matter of fact, the third one looks like somebody's grandma, so that ain't gender neutral.
What? Okay. Oh, you think that still looks like a grandma?
Don't that look like somebody's grandma? Which one?
Point to the one. You can't tell if it's a grandfather or a grandmother.
Oh, yeah. I
can't tell. It looks like a grandma to me.
Let me see.
All right.
The one in the middle looks like a woman.
Yeah, it looks like, well.
The one on the left looks like a woman.
Okay. My goodness. All right. Well, that's front page news. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. Maybe you had a bad night, bad day. Or maybe you just want to spread some positivity.
This
call
one
us
looks
up.
Like Paris.
It do look like Paris. So does Paris look gender neutral? No.
That definitely looks like Paris. 800-585-1051.
She do feel like a grown man, though.
Now, Paris, if you don't know, is Angela Yee's assistant, or what do you call her?
She's Angela Yee's friend, but one time when we went out of town, she ruined a bathroom.
Stop I mean, it. Ruined. She hates it. When you tell this
I
story.
Mean, when I tell you ruined a bathroom, when I called for maintenance, maintenance was like, oh, yeah, I was there. Oh, bad.
Oh, my
bad.
Goodness. All right, get it off your chest. Phone lines wide open. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Don't forget Black Eyed Peas.
The Breakfast Club.
Wake up. Wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
It's your boy, Keith.
It's your boy. Get it off your chest.
We don't know you for you to be our boy.
That's our boy.
Yeah. Listen, man, I need to get something off my chest, man. I'm broke.
Oh, man. No, you're not, man. You're just in between financial blessings. That's all.
That's true, man. Charlamagne, I just bought your book, man. I'm reading it, man. It's being a blessing to my life, honestly, man. I appreciate you, brother.
If I knew you was broke, I'd have sent you a copy for free. I promise you I would have.
Not it, bro. I'll hit you now.
There you go. Thank you, bro.
Thank you, though, brother. Black privilege in stores right now.
Hello, who's this?
Shane.
Hey, Shane. Get it off your chest.
I'm actually blessed. You know, I got a year and a half old daughter, and I got another daughter on the way in just 2 weeks.
Well, congrats, bro.
That's great.
Thank you, bro. Yeah, life is just good, and there's nothing to complain about. There's nothing to be mad about.
There you go.
Enjoy, because time goes fast.
I'm working on a third baby right now, meaning I'm having a lot of unprotected sex and shooting that club up.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, it's your boy, Anonymous.
Anonymous,
what's
man.
What's up, Anonymous?
Get it off your chest.
What's going on, man? Hey, you know, I got to give y'all a shout-out because I listen to y'all every day. But, you know, y'all, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes y'all don't answer. Y'all don't answer for the Boston callers. Let me get this off my chest, though, you know?
How your Red Sox do last night, bro?
Oh, I'm rocking with the Yankees.
All right,
from
all right,
Boston.
All right, well, get it off your chest, bro.
You know what I mean, I got a little shorty here. You know, her cousin's bad, so you know what I mean, like I want to smash her cousin. You know what I'm saying?
How long you been with that girl?
I've been with that girl for about 2 years.
Yeah, you might not want to do that, sir. It's not worth it. Not if you really like the girl that you've been with for 2 years.
We've been off and on 2 years, you know what I'm saying? We've been off and on, you know, we ain't been on.
You know how Biggie say never sell no crack where you rest at? Same thing when you sleeping with family members of your girl.
Charlotte, you the god, Charlotte. You the god.
I got a chapter in my book about that. I did some foul stuff like that one time. I slept with my my now wife's best friend and her first cousin at one point.
Y'all don't speak anymore, I'm sure.
No, I ain't speak to them then.
Did that break up the family?
Not ours.
Obviously not. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. Hit us up right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, man, I'm going to have to rename Anonymous on this one.
Uh-oh.
All right, what's up, Anonymous?
I've been knowing my homeboy since elementary school, right? And I've been knowing his ex-girlfriend since middle school. They just broke up like 3 months ago.
And you want to smash?
Bruh, come on, man. I don't know what. Should I let him know and be like, yo,
yes.
Ask him how he feel about it?
You should let him know because that's confirmation that he made the right decision or she made the right decision.
But does she like you?
Yeah, like she hit me up, you know, trying to go out of town and all this.
Nah,
stuff.
She testing you, bruh. She testing you to get back at him. Don't do it and let him know so he knows that she's just a dirty individual and he shouldn't go back to her. Let him know immediately. Be a real man. Well, be a real friend.
He actually wants to do it, though.
No, he doesn't.
Like, low key, I really do.
Don't do it.
Yes,
it ain't worth it. Think about the loyalty of your friend, all right? Don't
Tony.
Do it.
Tony.
Good morning.
Hey, get it off your chest, Tony.
I'll call you guys all here from Spain. Listen to you guys for the last couple of years. Love you guys.
Thank you.
I'm calling because I let you guys. What I'm mad about is this whole situation with Trump. Now he's bringing up his revenge against the NFL, saying they're trying to protest against the country and just respect the flag. But I am a veteran. I've been serving my country over 10 years. I have toured Afghanistan. And I do not feel disrespected at all by a player taking a knee for this right here.
I don't know what you're saying, bro. I hear every other word.
Yeah, but
it sounds like you're saying some real deep stuff.
He's a veteran.
But it just sounds like every other word is edited. So I don't know what you're saying. But I do agree with you that Donald Trump's girls probably got smashed by a bunch of NFL players. That's why he's so mad at
that
the NFL.
That is not what he said.
That's not what he said?
Yeah, I didn't hear that.
Oh.
Faith.
Yes.
You're depressed?
Yes, I am.
And you
oh want
to talk
God.
To Charlamagne?
I do because...
Go ahead, Mama.
Hey, Charlamagne. Well, first
hey,
of all, hey, Envy and Yee.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
What's up, boo?
But, Charlamagne, I don't know if you remember, but, like, sometime last month, I had, like, begged you to, you know, like, follow me on Twitter. And... You know, you did that, and then you messaged me, and then I messaged you back because I was telling you that I was dealing with a lot. And I know a lot of people call up here, and they say, you know, like, listening to The Breakfast Club is, like, the best part of their day, but y'all don't understand. Like, hearing y'all every morning really does, like, brighten up my day.
And well, we appreciate that, baby.
Especially you, Charlamagne, because you really, like, are that person who motivated me to, like, even go into journalism and radio and stuff like that. And over time, I did lose interest because I felt like I wasn't getting anywhere. And, like, the past 3 years have just been hell.
So what you like, want me to do, boo? What's up? Talk to me. What's happening?
I don't know. Like, I hate to get on the radio like this and even ask, but, like, I don't know how... I'm going to cover my rent. Like, I'm just behind and everything, and I just wanted somebody just to see if somebody could help me. Like, I hate to ask this on the radio like this. I do.
Listen, message me again, and I'll call you later, and we'll talk. You know what I'm saying? It's a heavy vetting process, okay? I need to make sure that everything you're saying is legit, and we'll see what we can do, boo. I'm not promising you anything, but we can discuss it, okay?
Let Uncle Charlotte talk to you,
okay?
Are you gonna see the message?
Yes, message me right now. What do you use, on Twitter or Instagram?
I'm going to do it on Twitter.
Yeah, message, DM me on Twitter or whatever, and we'll talk later, all right?
Aww.
Don't cry.
Don't cry.
Dry
help you out.
Your eye. We got the Black Eyed Peas coming up next hour, okay?
All right.
All right?
Now, we got rumors on the way, Yee?
Yes, we'll talk about Jemele Hill. She was suspended by ESPN, and we'll give you the details on how people are responding to her suspension.
ESPN trash, bro. I'll be honest with you.
Well, there's one response.
Okay. All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip.
Gossip.
The Rumor Report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's The Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, unless you live under a rock by now, you've heard that Jemele Hill has been suspended by ESPN.
Again?
She wasn't suspended before.
Oh, she wasn't?
No.
No, she wasn't. And that is for some comments that she made on Twitter. She was talking about Jerry Jones.
Well, actually, she was suspended for comments she made about Donald Trump 2 weeks ago.
But that's what I said. Yeah,
this is retroactive. This is retroactive.
That's what I said again?
No, she wasn't suspended before. He's saying this is retroactive.
Yes. I got what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, after Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones said that he would bench any players who disrespect the flag, she went on Twitter and had her own things to say about it. And I don't think she was saying to boycott ESPN, but she said if you strongly reject what Jerry Jones said, the key is his advertisers don't place the burden squarely on the players. Just so we're clear, I'm not advocating an NFL boycott, but an unfair burden has been put on players in Dallas and Miami with anthem directives. If fans are really that upset about what JJ and Stephen Ross have done, don't call the players sellouts, but you're watching every Sunday.
See, Jamel Hill's learning a valuable lesson, and that is some conversation shouldn't be had via social media, especially when you got other platforms, because that was two tweets, right?
It was three.
Three. Nobody saw the second tweet where she said, I'm not calling for a boycott. They just ran with the tweet that properly fits their narrative of her calling for a boycott, which is the first one.
Right. Now, ESPN said in a statement that she was suspended for a second violation of our social media guidelines. She won't be on television for the next 2 weeks. They did not say what specific guidelines she had violated, but she previously acknowledged letting her colleagues and company down with an impulsive tweet, according to the statement.
John Skipper, president of ESPN, Bob Iger, president of Disney. Those are big dogs over there. That's whack, okay? You're paying people like Jamel for their POV, and you shouldn't keep that POV in a box. As long as the rhetoric isn't getting someone hurt or killed, let her express herself.
Now, Reverend Al Sharpton tweeted, ESPN's suspension of Jamel Hill is an outrage and should not go unanswered. ESPN and advertisers will hear from us. And he also had this to say.
So he's saying if you want to play on my team, you suspend your freedom of speech, your right to protest. ESPN is saying if Jamel says, well, the advertisers ought to know your feelings, then she's going to be silenced and suspended. She did not tell them to boycott. She said, let the advertisers know how you feel. Now, I'm calling a meeting of civil rights leaders. We do call for boycotts. So if Jerry Jones and advertisers don't think they're going to hear from the collective civil rights community, they ought to stay tuned.
Now, Charlamagne, that is your team, the Cowboys. How do you feel about Jerry Jones saying that?
I mean, Dallas Cowboys still my team. I don't agree with what Jerry Jones said, though. I mean, you know, I don't feel like you should take away anybody's constitutional rights. And that's the problem I have here. Like, even if Jemele Hill wants to express her freedom of speech and speak out about those things, she should have every right to. Jerry Jones is violating his players' constitutional rights. ESPN is violating Jemele Hill's constitutional rights, which is crazy to me because everybody's claiming to be so American, but nobody in this situation is respecting the Constitution.
All right, well, here's what Judge Greg Mathis had to say about Jemele Hill.
Absolutely, it's not fair. Are they going to suspend Jerry Jones for saying it? He suggested that they violate the First Amendment of his players. And if it violates policy of ESPN, then perhaps ESPN has a policy that's unconstitutional.
That's how I feel. Like, nobody's respecting the Constitution in this situation. Jerry Jones isn't respecting it when it comes to his players because they have the right to protest. ESPN is violating Jemele Hill's constitutional rights when it comes to freedom of speech. Everybody claiming to be so American, but nobody's respecting the Constitution.
Judge Mathis also feels like Jemele Hill could win if she did want to sue ESPN. And J. Cole tweeted out, protect Jemele Hill. Donald Trump tweeted out, in the meantime, a big salute to Jerry Jones, owner of the Dallas Cowboys, who will bench players who disrespect our flag, stand for anthem, or sit for game.
The whole team.
And this is why ESPN is so trash, because ESPN has their personalities on this don't talk about politics policy, but politics is injecting themselves into sports.
NFL. Right.
How can you not talk about issues that are dealing with sports when Jerry Jones is doing things like this and Donald Trump is tweeting things like that? Like, no, you got to let them talk about it.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, when we come back, we have Black Eyed Peas in the building.
Black Eyed Peas, okay? Oh, we're not serving food. All right. You made it seem like you just got black eyed peas for breakfast. All right. It's the black eyed peas.
Well, the black eyed peas
Apple,
will be joining us.
Taboo and Will I Am.
How many people in here eat black eyed peas?
Me. I'm black.
You do too.
What question is that?
Every once in a blue, when we have family get togethers, Thanksgiving, Christmas.
I love black eyed peas and rice. Are you crazy?
What about you?
Mm-mm.
Why you say it like that?
I don't like black eyed peas. I don't like beans. There's a lot of things I don't eat, but.
No.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get into that when we come back. Keep it locked. The Black Eyed Peas is the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got some special guests in the building.
Yes, sir.
Black Eyed Peas.
Whoa, I didn't know y'all do that.
Come on.
You know what I always wanted to talk to y'all about, man, because I don't think people discuss it enough. You guys were really signed with Eazy-E back in the day?
Yeah, we signed...
Ruthless.
Yeah, signed Ruthless in 92 when Dre left. Ice Cube obviously left, and he was going around L.A. just getting, like, bunch of battle MCs to be a part of his writing squad, and me and Apple were signed there for 92 to 95 when he passed away.
As a group?
Yeah, different name.
What was the name of the group?
It was called At Band Clan.
Mm-hmm. At Band Clan?
Yeah, it stood for A Tribe Beyond a Nation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's always interesting because people see Black Eyed Peas and they think pop group, pop records, but, you know, they don't think, like, Ruthless is hip-hop.
Yeah, so Easy was a big inspiration as far as, like, his business sense and the things he signed. And he was more than just a rapper. Mm-hmm. He was an entrepreneur, signed everything from Bone Thugs to Blood Abraham to At Band Clan. Like, why would he want us in the stable? Like, mm-hmm. why would he go out and see to find, you know, to fill different niches and voids in culture? So at the time in 92, Diggable Planets and mm-hmm. all those folks were like, we're big. This is before Farside, and we were there on Ruthless. So he just really just expanded, you know, our perspective on, like, what get it means. Like,
how did he sign you? Where did he find you?
So I was a club in Hollywood called Ballistics, and, you know, I would just battle, mm-hmm. just one of those backpack battle rappers, and that's how we got signed. No demo, just freestyle.
Wow. There's no gangster records of Apple and Will I Am, like.
No, but no, you know what? We would go to, like, Eazy-E's gangster functions and have us perform, and it was like the most awkward thing.
Yeah, how was that?
Did you just feel any, like, pressure? Like, we gotta.
Yeah, you know what I mean? We had, like, old school, like, suits. We cut off the sleeves, mm-hmm. and, you know what I mean? We were, like, thrift store shopping, and it would be at, like, Eazy-E's functions and.
Woman. Yeah, he would just be like, yo, freestyle. Well, show how you freestyle. And so we would just, you know, battle guys.
And then next, Taboo joined the group.
Yeah, so I was part of the family called Grassroots. Mm-hmm. You know, those MCs, B-boys, mm-hmm. musicians,
poets.
And, yeah, and we met each other at Ballistics. So it was all these different crews from, you know, Exhibit to Robin Thicke to Leonardo DiCaprio, all these kids. We were teenagers at the time, and not to date myself, mm-hmm. but we were teenagers and we were just loving hip hop culture.
Right.
So I met Will and Apple back then, and we created this family. And at the time, it was like, you know, we were just trying to do whatever we could to get our name out there and just continue to evolve as MCs and as songwriters.
Yeah, and to us, hip hop is like, it's multidimensional. So, you know, we do a poor job celebrating the successes and all the different variations of hip hop. Mm. So hip hop as an industry, you know, I think could be a lot bigger than it is. When I mean bigger, I'm talking about like billions and billions of dollars bigger. So the first Facebook, the first MySpace was OK Player. Mm. So we forget all those things. Mm. Like, you know, from Kid and Play and MC Hammer, that's hip hop. Those are TV shows. But as an industry, we say, ah, that ain't hip hop. Like hip hop ain't pop. Actually, hip hop is the most popular thing on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So why do we segregate it and right. segment it and all these things? Like this, you know, prison rap is the only thing we consider hip hop.
Right.
When actuality, that's like a setup in my eyes. That's a setup for how we progress as people. You know, all the different versions of hip hop is hip hop to me.
Do you feel like you had to prove yourself because you were such a big hip-hop act that you have to prove yourself to the quote-unquote hip-hop realists and hip-hop lyricists?
No, you don't do that. That's
recipe for failure, if you ask me.
Yeah, you don't do that. I mean, although I love it, right? You know, real recognizes real. So, you know, I'll produce and do beats, write hooks, and get in the studio, chop it up, and see the Ghost Riders, battle their Ghost Riders. I know all the different things. So from that, like, as far as your career, that sabotage for yourself as far as, like, always trying to get that stamp of approval from folks.
But we had to prove ourselves to the record companies because, you know, we were inspired by, like, Tribe, Boogie Down, and in L.A. was predominantly, like, gangster music. You know, we shop our demos and stuff, and it's like, yo, I don't know, this kind of like on the left, is it tangible?
Right.
And we had to like prove ourselves and just kept on doing shows all over LA.
And not only that, I mean, App came from the Philippines. Mm. So Filipino and black, you know.
No, we're on Ruthless Records, so he don't really know that much English.
So he don't know that much English. Wow. And here I am, a Native American Mexican kid from East LA, mm-hmm. and Will came from the project. So we came together for the love of hip hop,
mm.
B-boying, emceeing, graffiti, DJing, we encompassed that. No matter what color it was the frequency was hip-hop. Mm.
I want to go back to something Will said, because it really makes a lot of sense, man. I do feel like we cannibalize each other a lot in hip-hop. Like, when you denounce a Hammer, denounce a Kid and Play, like, anybody that was successful back in the day, it seemed like we would denounce.
Right, yeah.
Which kind of, you know, it stifled the genre. The genre could have been way bigger a long time ago.
I think it was planned that way. The trickery is down even to the things that we celebrate and call our own. So as soon as, like, some, it's like a parent hating their successful child.
Mm.
And, you know, that's just all part of the conditioning as us as a people.
That's why I say you got to salute Eazy-E, because he saw that.
Mm.
He saw that, you did, no, it could be bigger. We can't scratch the genre.
Yeah. Eazy-E, thank you for, you know, and Little Eazy, appreciate your father so much. He, you know, really inspired me as a businessman. And then going from there to Jimmy with just the path from Dre and Eazy to us, from Eazy to Jimmy is I don't know, that to me is serendipitous.
Do you have any conspiracy theories on Eazy's death? Since,
I mean, every birthday from 92, 93, 94, 95, he would call me on my birthday and we would go to Monty's, which is right off of Canoga. So the first Calabasas guy was Eazy. You know, so all these rappers that live out in Calabasas, Eazy started all that.
Mm.
And so, birthday, March 18th, 1995, he's like, yo, I'm in the hospital, I got bronchitis, I'll be out in a couple of days. I have my theories on it, but I think he was administered it. I don't think he, you know, he had that.
Oh, you think somebody injected it in him?
Injected into
him. Yeah.
Mm. He's such an unsung hero, though. That's why I like to get as much Eazy. Nobody discusses Eazy like they should.
If Eazy was still alive, hip hop, our heroes that we have now wouldn't be around. Because Tupac wouldn't have passed. If Tupac didn't pass, Biggie wouldn't have passed. So those two cats still being in the game, you know, the Giants today wouldn't be the Giants today.
Mm.
All right, we got more with Black Eyed Peas. When we come back, don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ NV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Black Eyed Peas is in the building. Charlamagne?
I've always liked y'all group because it represents what America could be as far as, like, diversity. Because, like, three different people from three totally different backgrounds.
Yep.
How the hell do y'all get together? Like,
yeah, but a quick synopsis. So I was adopted for the Philippines, and my adopted father was roommate with Will's uncle.
No, my uncle was roommate with your dad.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
So my uncle was homeless, and Apple's dad. You know those programs, just 25 cents a day will help feed this child?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Apple's one of those kids.
You actually got that really? Money? Yeah. I never donated because I didn't think y'all really got the money.
I didn't know that really worked.
Yeah, it did.
I never saw you on a commercial.
Yeah, and you get, you know, you receive the support, and then you take a photo of all the items and tuition fees for school, and you get to write a thank you letter. And
what kind of food was it?
No, so they give you like $20 a month, and then you buy your own food supplies, and then you take a photo and receipts, and then you submit it to the foundation.
Yeah, so he comes from one of those programs, and then my mom in the projects was like the mom that took care of everybody's kids. So when my uncle was like at a low point, Apple's dad, Mr. Hudgens, is like this like angel dude, right? So I don't know who does that.
Mm-hmm.
Sponsors a child, meets a stranger, lets him stay in the house until he gets stable. Brings his son like, yo, I'm going to bring my son to America so he could have a better opportunity for education. My uncle's like, I know somebody that could take care of your son while you enroll him in the school. That person was my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And so from that point, like, dude didn't know no English. And in the projects, it was like around the time when you're 16, when, you know, the big homies, you know, is you know, tossing stuff to the little homies to hold. And
drugs, ladies and gentlemen, so, drugs.
So I was, you know, it was around that time, and my mom was strict, so I hung out with App, and he didn't know English, and hip-hop was the thing that we're dancing and battling folks was the thing that we had in common.
Wow.
Did you listen to hip-hop in the Philippines at all?
Yeah, so I'm from a village, and then when I went to school in the city, I started discovering like JJ Fad, mm-hmm. NWA, and breakdancing.
Wow.
And you know, nobody really knows, but I'm like legally blind. And once
you blind right now?
Huh?
You blind right now?
Yes, he's blind. Close enough. After 10 feet, I'd be like, you're like, damn, app is a conceited. You know what I'm saying?
He'd come up to me like, yo, tap.
I always see her at clubs. And she always like, app, it's me,
that's true, you?
I'm like, oh, yeah.
The guy is legally blind.
I never knew
that's
that.
Crazy. I didn't know that.
And,
you the original POP.
Yeah, for real, like, yeah. So, yeah.
So when did y'all decide to put a female in the group?
So we always had a girl in the crew. So whether it was Macy Gray or Estero.
Macy Gray was a member of the Black Eyed Peas?
Yeah, so we would tour L.A., and when she was coming up, we were coming up at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Black Eyed Peas. The billing was like Black Eyed Peas, Ozzy Motley, Macy Gray. That was like, you know, who would be touring the colleges or, mm-hmm. you know, different like bar circuits. And our whole vision was to like own California.
Right.
Like if we can't own California colleges, then we should just give up. And Macy Gray was a part of that, was part of that circuit with us. Ozzy Motley, Black Eyed Peas, Macy Gray.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was down doing hooks with us, singing songs, writing songs with us. Then we had this girl named Estero.
I remember Estero.
On weekends, like the original Canadian thing. So we would go to Canada, rock with like Estero back. This is like 97, 98, 99. And then 2000, we were rocking heavily with, and through the whole thing, there was this girl named Kim Hill that was like in the Peas, toured with the Peas.
She was part of that song Joints and Jams in the video. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
And then so
she was the one I always associate as being the first woman in Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we always had girls in the crew. And then we had met Fergie and Nicole in the same day at some like radio concert, like, you know, like the Wango Tangos, those big things.
And Nicole Scherzinger.
What's Nicole's last name?
I can never pronounce her name.
Scherzinger.
The Pussycat Dolls. Yeah, so we met her in the same. She was in a group called Eden's Crush. Fergie was in a girl group called Wild Orchid. And we met him backstage. And
flipped the coin?
So we just met at the same time. And so I started, you know, working on music because they both wanted to go solo. So I did Fergie's like demo package, what she called it. And I was gonna help her shop. And I took it to Puffy, I took it to Pharrell. And then Jimmy walks in as I'm playing the music for Pharrell. And he was like, come over here. You know, it's hard to sell the girls music. You know, there's too many girls in the industry. We're having a hard time with, you know, the artists we have on the label. Why don't you, you know.
I'm just seeing defiant ones. That sounds just like Jimmy.
Why don't you put her in the group and sign her to your label? I was like, I don't have a label. He's like, now you do. And now I was like,
wow. Now, that's interesting. Mm. So Nicole wasn't technically going to be a replacement for Fergie. That was like kind of like an original thing that was going to happen anyway, maybe.
So the thing was, we had, before we met, so in that meeting with Nicole and Fergie in Minnesota in 2002, January, we were like, yo, Nicole, you should rock with us. She had a boyfriend, this dude named Nick Hexum,
311.
Mm-hmm. And he was like, no.
Wow.
She was like, well, my boyfriend doesn't want me to let me join the group.
Oh, so, he's insecure.
And yeah. Mm-hmm. So, hey, who's going to send a girl on a, you know, on tour with a bunch of dudes?
He worried about y'all. He should have been worried about Jimmy. Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Wow. I'm just saying.
So the
we don't know anything about it.
Yeah, so that didn't happen. And then Fergie was like just always coming to the studio. One thing about Ferg, like, she would just always come to the studio and be there with us while we were doing Elefunk. It was done. The record was finished when Jimmy was like, put her in the group. I'm like, Jimmy, the record's finished. We're done. He was like, figure it out. Call me later. And that was that. So we had to figure it out. Like, yo, guys, what are we going to do with this opportunity here? You know, and at the time, you know, Steve Stout was the head of Black music at Interscope.
Mm-hmm.
So Steve Stout would be like, you know, Will, problem with you is you're a selfish rapper. I'm like, what? Remember this video? He was like, problem with you, you're a selfish rapper. I was like, but I don't smoke weed. And you want me to say, because the song was like, smoke smoke machines and laser rays. He's like, what the f*** is a smoke machine? And what the f*** is laser rays? I'm like,
that's not like
you know, it's smoke machine in the club.
Yeah, it's another fog.
He was like, listen, you should say smoking trees and getting paid.
Oh, my God.
I was like, stout, but I don't smoke. That's your problem. You're f***ing selfish. And you only think about
that could have applied to him, too, because he was only thinking about what he knew.
Yeah. So every time I love stout. At the time, so I was like, yo, Jimmy, like, can you put us over here with Ron Fair? He was like, Will, what the f*** does Ron Fair know about hip-hop? I was like, nothing. And that's the point. I'd rather be over here with somebody who's not going to stifle us mm-hmm. in a form of hip-hop and not, you know, see all the other versions. Maybe the other versions ain't selling right now, but that doesn't mean that, you know, it's going to stay that way forever.
Visionary.
I'd rather go over here with Ron Fair. All right, if that's what you want to do. So we went from Interscope to A&M. Mm-hmm. And with them, we had, like, freedom to express and flex and just dream as big as possible.
All right, we got more with Black Eyed Peas when we come back. Matter of fact, let's get into a Black Eyed Peas mini mix. Let me know your favorite Black Eyed Peas joint. Check it out. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. V. Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God, we are The Breakfast Club. Black Eyed Peas are in the building. Now, you guys did a new comic book.
And Fergie said she would love to be a part of it, but...
Oh. Yeah, so Master of the Sun, we wrote that. We've been writing that for the past 5 years. Mm-hmm. The thesis of the story is, you know, takes place in 1980. Hip-hop is bubbling out the Bronx. And the star of the world that we built is Zulu X and the Blastmasters. They travel into L.A. They run into Crips and Bloods. And they realize they're feuding on where they're selling a certain type of drug, and they're trying to get the Crips and the Bloods to stop selling it because it's turning, you know, the community into, you know, zombies. So what we did was we over-exaggerated on crackheads to zombies by borrowing from things that actually happened. So in doing that, we had to go to KRS and ask KRS for his blessing to call him the crew, the Blastmasters.
Mm.
So when they get to, you know, that thickness with the Bloods and the Crips on asking them to cease to stop selling this drug, they asked who the supplier was, and they realized that it's a shape-shifting alien mm-hmm. who's been, you know, divisive and in the African-American community from slavery.
The white man.
to killing of Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and taking a part of the Black Panther Party, and now it's on its way to poison the hip-hop community. And in the book, it's amazing. There's this section in the book where he was like, and this time the black man would enslave themselves.
Mm.
So it's an amazing, you know, it pulls on what's actually going on in the world, but then, like, you know, heightens it with, like, awesome, you know, myth, Egyptology. But with Black Eyed Peas, we like to take it to the next. So the cast that's helped us make this book bigger than a book is Rosario Dawson, Queen Latifah, mm-hmm. Mary J. Blige, Slick Rick, Ice-T, Rakim, Boom. Eric B., Boom. Pete Rock,
Boom. Common,
Common, Snoop Dogg,
Flavor Flav,
and
like a Redman.
What do you mean help take it to the book? Like, they're in the book? Like,
yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah. I haven't read it yet. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a Marvel head. I can't wait to read this.
So,
and there's a score for this as well.
Yes.
So you get the book, right? You get
okay.
your phone.
Will's always up on the latest technology and all absolutely. That stuff. Your voice will resonate when the darkness eclipses the light. Wow.
That's amazing. Wow.
Go back to where it all started. That's dope.
Oh, my God, man. Listen, I'm a comic book head. You just took my comic book reading experience to another goddamn level.
Yeah.
That's going to revitalize the comic book industry, because the comic world is not doing great. This is going to revitalize that. Like, just going into the comic book store, picking up a comic book, throwing on your virtual glasses, a download app to your phone. Like, oh, man.
Yeah, and it's great. It was great to be able to bring all these amazing artists that we're influenced by, you know, from mm-hmm. KRS-One to Rakim to Queen Latifah, to all these people. Stan Lee. Stan right. Lee is the narrator of it, so.
Yeah.
So, and
yeah,
so. It also stands for hope, because just like I said earlier, I'm legally blind, so now I can read comic books. Because mm-hmm. growing up in the Philippines, I had to, like, really.
Yeah, but you gotta stop lying,
face.
Man.
and really read. Now I'm like, I can just read and listen, and it comes to life. You know what I mean? So for all the kids out there that has visual impairment, disability, this would be a great, you know what I mean, to just learn and to access information and live more.
I love the fact that the messaging, too, because messaging is very important. Like, y'all are delivering messages through your art.
Right.
And, like, you know, where is the love? You know, I look around at this climate and ask myself that constantly. You know, what do you think can be done to make people feel more love in this climate?
Yeah, so the weird thing is, like, with all the things that are happening right now, there's not that many artists that are, you know, speaking on the time. So they're very few, given the amount of people that have access to be able to reach, right? So everyone has the ability to put stuff on SoundCloud and YouTube. But it seems as if, like, those types of messages, those types of songs don't work, and they don't work on purpose. And so, you know, to Kendrick Lamar's, thank you. J. Cole's, thank you for doing your part and for y'all's generation. But if this was an era, it would be like the 50s. So the 50s and the 40s, they didn't really talk about the war and the times. Like, there was Wap Baba Loo Baba Wham Bam Boo, Tutti Frutti. There was Littles, a whole bunch of Little Richard, Little Walker.
He's not gay no more, by the way, he said.
Oh,
Little Richard.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I saw him do an interview a couple of days ago.
He's happy.
Yeah.
but love, like, love for some reason is like a weak thing, when really it's the strongest thing, right?
Right.
So we just do our part, and this book right here is like, to us, love. It's like a different way of saying, writing those types of records. So.
You said the music is designed that way. It's designed, not the work, like the positive music. Why do you think that is?
I really think there is like a higher working on a frequency level to keep us chasing nothing.
Negativity.
And nothing is worth money, right? Mm-hmm. Writing songs, like, don't get me wrong, we wrote songs like Boom Boom Pow really ain't about nothing, right? Mm-hmm. That, I'm not saying that everything that we do is super conscious. That's not real. But for some reason, nothing pays. And substance is risky.
Right.
And substance is hard to get over. Substance is people ain't really spitting substance.
A lot of people say West Coast gangster rap had a lot to do with that, though. Because if you look at what the East Coast was doing at that time, the Public Enemies, KRS-One, the records like Self-Destruction, and then you had the West Coast come with the gangsters.
Well,
I mean,
N.W.A. had Express Yourself. Right. So, I mean, that was kind of like the...
No, but his
Death Row,
like,
okay, you're talking about that era.
So there's a part of Defiant Ones when Jimmy was like, I don't know if I'm protecting free speech or supporting Homage.
Mm.
That part of the documentary was like, so happy he spoke on that, because in reality, it's like prison commercials, right? And if you think of, like, you know, who owns prisons, they're privatized. You could own a prison. And if you think of the folks that are, like, occupying prisons, it's like blacks and Latins.
The Black Eyed Peas, basically.
You can pick up the book at Amazon. And
what is the book out?
It's out now. It's on Amazon.
And Amazon.
And natives.
Now they can send this book. They can send this book to jail too, because they get comments in jail now too, right?
Right. Yeah.
So you think there is? Because Minister Fracon always spoke on that. He spoke on that there was a correlation between the private prison industry and the record labels, purposely dumb down the black and brown community and make them gravitate toward the street life through music.
I believe that's true. Yeah. Making it to where we disconnect ourselves from anything that obviously looks different than that. So the fact that hip hop, in its popular sense, doesn't see Black Eyed Peas as hip hop, that was designed.
Mm.
You know, that's by design.
Well, we appreciate you guys.
Oh, man, I can talk to them forever, man. We got
Masters of Sun.
Yes, Apple.
The comic, you can pick it up right now.
Yes, salute to Apple, salute to Taboo, salute to Wyclef Jean, the Black Eyed Peas. We appreciate y'all for coming.
I told you. What did I say, dude? He's like, what you think Charlamagne gonna do? I was like, what? He's probably gonna do like a low blow. He's probably gonna say, here's what he's gonna say.
No, but they called him. You remember when they called called you Wyclef on CNN.
No, so check this
they
out.
They mistook you for Wyclef.
One time, they used to call me Wyclef ever since our first tour in 1998, Smoking Grooves. So in my head, it was like the day that they call Wyclef Will, I made it.
Right.
So anyways, make a long story short, you know, it's 2015. I'm in New York. We're doing Central Park. And Wyclef's like, yo, Will, let me introduce you to my daughter. And she was like, oh, can you take a picture of my daughter? I was like, of course, Wyclef. And so the daughter says, Dad, you do look like Will I Am.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On the Breakfast Club.
So listen up. Nah.
All right, well, Wendy Williams had some things to say about Nelly. Now, on her show, she was talking about these rape accusations against Nelly from a young lady who said that she was on his tour bus and she was raped with no protection. Here's what she had to say.
The problem is that you can't party the way you read about Nelly. You didn't grow up during the Rolling Stone times. You know, Nelly is a rapper from the 90s and into the 2000s, but still, that's relatively close to what we're living in right now regarding internet, cell phones, litigious behavior on the part of people who might not deserve it. Young lady, you've got to stay out of tour buses.
She also said if she did not put herself in that situation, this wouldn't have happened.
Well, first of all, why is Wendy telling the story like she was there and she knows exactly what happened?
First of all, these are just allegations. We don't even know if
exactly.
any of this
happened. And number two, if it is true, the problem is not the woman being on the tour bus, it's the woman getting raped. Okay?
Hello, yeah, how about telling the guys don't put yourself in a situation where you bring girls onto your tour bus and accusations or anything can possibly happen.
And number three, I don't want to hear Wendy discuss nothing in detail until you discuss the cheating allegations from your husband in detail. If you're not going to discuss that in detail, don't discuss nobody else's business in
detail.
You
can never blame an alleged victim for putting themselves in a situation.
That is a fact. But once again, if you're not going to discuss your husband's cheating allegations in detail, don't discuss nobody else's business in detail. The same way you slid by your husband's cheating allegations, you do that when it comes to other people.
All right, Eminem has a new album coming out, and he has revealed that album will be November 17th. That's going to be his 9th album, according to Hits Daily Double. So far, all we know is that he's been in the studio with Dr. Dre, and he's been in the studio with 2 Chainz as well. So he hasn't put out an album since 2013. That album was 4 times platinum, the Marshall Mathers LP Part 2.
I want to hear this. Yeah, I want to hear that.
I'm all for 40 and over rap, all right?
Now, Pink, he's also on Pink's new album.
We need something, too.
And he's on a song called Beautiful Trauma. That album comes out on Friday. I mean, Pink's album, Beautiful Trauma. The album comes out Friday. He's on a song called Revenge.
But I'm always intrigued when those guys that are over 40 put out music because they're stretching the genre. Like, they're stretching the age demographic of the genre.
I want to hear what they're talking about.
We already know Hov can do it. So let's see what M can do.
All right. Now I have an exclusive for you. Black China's boyfriend, Michi. We've seen two of them out and about. You've met him, right, Charlamagne?
I met them on the set of Hip Hop Squares, Black China and Michi. I actually thought Michi was her brother. They look alike.
All right. Well, he actually is an artist, and he has a song out, and I managed to get a snippet of the song.
They don't look alike to you?
A little
like
bit.
Brother and sister.
A little
bit. He looked like her little brother.
The song is actually about Black China. Check it out.
Ooh, get my farts ready.
Baby, let me tell you something. I could never leave.
Yes.
Hear the whole thing first.
No. Yeah, you haven't even heard it.
It's making my stomach bubble already.
Ooh.
No. Nah. I'm wax song intolerant, baby.
Love made in China.
Y'all know that was trash. But if y'all gonna act like that was dope, I'm gonna go along with it.
I didn't think it was trash.
That was trash.
Come on, that was garbage, man. Stop it, man. Stop.
Yeah, Abby was grooving.
No, it was trash.
All right, NeNe Leakes has had to apologize, and that is for a joke that she made. You know she's doing stand-up comedy now. She was in Oakland, and she was getting booed, and this is what she told one of the hecklers in the audience.
Sheesh.
She said she hopes that she get raped by the Uber driver on the
way
home.
What's up with women over 6 feet this week and rape?
Why y'all making such light of rape this week?
Goodness gracious.
Off of what she has apologized. She said, I truly regret and apologize what I said from stage in Oakland over the weekend. Sometimes words can cut deep and hurt when you have no intentions of them doing so. As a woman and someone who has survived abuse, I regret the words that I used. I made a mistake and I should have known better. I hope people accept my deepest and sincerest apologies. I am sorry.
By the way, that's the worst rating you can give an Uber driver, by the way. Just give me a 1-star before you accuse me of raping somebody.
Why would you hope somebody's Uber driver rapes them? That's crazy.
And why the Uber driver? Yeah, why not Lyft or anything? Like, why Uber?
That's probably the first thing that came to my mind.
Well, yeah, Uber gets a bad rap.
By the way,
right
that's why everybody shouldn't be on that stage. You know, everybody think they can just go up there and do stand-up
everyone
comedy.
Gets
that's
heckled. True. Everybody gets booed at some point as a comedian. That's how you learn and get better.
If that's the best you got when you're getting heckled on stage, get your ass off the stage and don't never get up there again. Okay?
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your Rumor Report.
All right, Miss Yee. Charlamagne.
Yes, sir.
Who are you giving your donkey to?
Listen, I need the president of ESPN, John Skipper, to come to the front of the congregation, as well as Bob Iger, the president of Disney, their parent company. We'd like to have a little conversation with the both of them. They can come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to talk to them this morning, please.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Charlamagne, say the game. Dunk it of the day. Charlamagne.
You are a donkey. It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day does not discriminate.
I might not have the song of the day, but I got the donkey of the day.
So if you ever feel I need to be a donkey, man, hit me with the heat.
Yes, the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Well, Mr. Ed Sheeran, Donkey of the Day for Tuesday, October 10th, goes to John Skipper, president of ESPN, and Bob Iger, president of Disney. These are the big dogs at the top of the food chain at ESPN, and I would have to say that they are responsible for Jemele Hill being suspended for 2 weeks. I don't know that for sure, but they the bosses, so whatever moves ESPN makes has to be a reflection of them. Now, if you haven't heard, Jemele Hill was suspended for 2 weeks yesterday for comments she made about my beloved Dallas Cowboys. Well, actually, Jemele Hill was suspended for 2 weeks for comments she made about Donald Trump a couple weeks ago. Okay, even though the NFL cuts ESPN a big-ass check, and they probably do feel like Jemele was messing with the church's money by pissing off Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, let's be clear, this is a retroactive suspension for what she tweeted about Trump a couple weeks ago. Let's go to CNN to hear what happened.
ESPN has just released a statement saying it has just suspended the popular host Jemele Hill after a string of tweets about the Cowboys owner Jerry Jones. And these tweets included, here you go, Jerry Jones also has created a problem for his players, specifically the black ones. If they don't kneel, some will see them as sellouts. She goes on, if you strongly reject what Jerry Jones said, the key is his advertisers don't place the burden squarely on the players. And then in this whole string, she later clarifies some of her comments, tweeting this. Just so we're clear, I'm not advocating an NFL boycott, but an unfair burden has been put on players in Dallas and Miami with anthem directives.
Oh, ESPN President John Skipper, Bob Iger, President of Disney. This is whack. I'm only speaking from the perspective of a personality, so to me, content is king. Freedom of speech is everything. I know to you guys, corporate dollars are king, and the NFL has ESPN by the balls because of all the money they spend with y'all, so you are forced to choose corporate dollars over the consumers who watch your shows every day and the personalities who say the things that keep these consumers tuned in. But come on! You pay people like Jemele Hill for their POV, and you shouldn't keep that POV in a box. As long as the rhetoric isn't getting someone hurt or killed, let her express herself. I'm all for freedom of speech. Even if I don't agree with what you're speaking on, I will defend your right to say it. All these people she talking about are big boys. They'll be fine. Look, I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. All right, Jerry Jones said he demands players stand for the anthem and respect the flag. That's his right as an owner of the team and as an American. I don't agree with it, and I pray the players rebel. But you have to know when you attempt to stifle someone's constitutional rights to protest in that manner, that there is going to be backlash, okay? You have to know people are going to have an opinion about that. If Jemele Hill wants to express her freedom of speech and speak out about that, she should have every right to. That's what constitutional rights are supposed to be about. And don't hand me that I want sports broadcasters to talk about sports and not politics and social issues. Well, how can they not when the owner of the richest franchise in the NFL is giving his opinion on a social issue? How can they not talk politics when the leader of the free world is talking about the NFL? This intersectionality between sports and politics is not one-sided. In fact, your celebrity in chief, Donald Trump, tweeted at 6:42 a.m., with Jemele Hill at the mic, it is no wonder ESPN ratings have tanked. In fact, tanked so badly, it is the talk of the industry. Three things stand out about this tweet to me. Number one, he spelled Mike, which is short for microphone, M-I-K-E, which could have been a shot at Michael Smith, Jamel Hill's co-host on The Six. I don't either, ye. Okay, that could have been a nice little shot to Michael, but nah, Donald isn't that smart. He just actually thinks microphone, when shortened, is spelled the same way as his vice president's first name. Number two, a man whose presidential approval rating is plummeting as fast as Trump shouldn't be talking about anything tanking. Oh. Excuse me. Number three, with all the things that need to be discussed in the world, why are you worried about what people are talking about in the TV industry? You are not a celebrity anymore, Donald Trump. You are the president of the United States of America, not the executive producer of the United States of America. 6:42 in the morning, with all the pressure issues going on in the world, he's tweeting about Jemele Hill and ESPN, and the powers that be at ESPN, John Skipper or whoever is in charge over there, has the nerve to tell personalities not to discuss politics? Y'all just gonna act like this isn't happening? Like we gonna turn ESPN on today and y'all not gonna discuss none of this? Well, that just lets me know ESPN is fake. It's nothing authentic about it. In fact, it's cowardly and shows how out of touch everybody in charge at ESPN is. So why are we watching ESPN? I want to tune into a network that's giving me real opinions from real people. That's what Jemele Hill represents. And if liberty means anything at all, it means a right to tell people what they don't want to hear, period. You know all of this boils down to a lack of respect for the Constitution, okay? All you Americans who claim to be so patriotic, y'all really have no respect for the Constitution. Colin Kaepernick took a knee because African Americans' constitutional rights were being violated. The injustice that African Americans are facing in this country at the hands of some police officers. Then you didn't respect Colin's constitutional right to protest and blackballed him. Now Jerry Jones is violating his players' constitutional rights by demanding they stand for the anthem. And ESPN is violating Jemele Hill's constitutional rights to freedom of speech, which is crazy to me because everybody claiming to be so American, but nobody in this situation is respecting the Constitution. John Skipper, president of ESPN, Bob Iger, president of Disney, you two need to understand that patriotism is supporting your country at all times and your government when it deserves it. Let me repeat and elaborate. Patriotism is supporting your country and the people in it at all times, especially when those people work for you, Jemele Hill, and your government when it deserves it. Your government doesn't deserve it right now, simply because they're trying to violate everyone's constitutional rights to protest, and you two now are violating Jemele Hill's freedom of speech. So please give John Skipper, president of ESPN, and Bob Iger, president of Disney, the biggest hee-haw, please.
All right.
Wait a minute.
What?
Would y'all like to have a petty party?
Oh, boy, let's start one.
Do you want to have a petty party?
Let's start one.
I think we should have a petty party, okay? First, let's tweet at ESPN, hashtag stand with Jemele.
Okay.
Hashtag stand with Jemele. Tweet at ESPN right now, hashtag stand with Jemele. Go do that right now. Second, you can call 1-860-766-2000 and leave a message at ESPN. I don't care what you say. Just call and tell them how you feel about them suspending Jemele Hill. If you're in support of Jemele Hill, call 1-860-766-2000. Leave a message at ESPN. Or go to their Twitter at ESPN and put hashtag stand with Jemele. Petty party, petty party, petty party.
All right, well, let's open up the phone lines. 800-585-1051. Let's talk about Jemele Hill. How do you feel about it? Do you feel she should have been suspended? Not? What are your thoughts? Call us up right now. 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Future with Mask Off. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just join us, Charlamagne gave a couple people donkey today this morning.
Yes, John Singer. Hold on, I got gas.
What is going on over there?
That Black China's boyfriend song.
Oh, my goodness.
Give John Skipper, president of ESPN, and Bob Iger, president of Disney, the biggest hee-haw. Disney is the parent company of ESPN. So I feel like those are two are the responsible for suspension of Jemele Hill for 2 weeks.
All right.
If they're not responsible, they can intervene.
Now, we're talking Jemele Hill. Should she have been suspended? That is the question.
Absolutely not. She should not have been suspended. I am a radio personality. DJ Envy, you're a radio personality. Angela Yee is a radio personality. Correct. Content is king for us. I believe in free speech. It is our constitutional right. As long as we're not saying anything that is detrimental to somebody's health, that is getting somebody hurt or getting somebody killed, we should be able to express ourselves how we want, when we want, at all times.
All right. I agree with you. I don't think she should be suspended unless it's something disparaging. All she said was her feelings. She didn't say to boycott. She said, no, I'm not saying to boycott.
Yes.
And she's saying, stop holding these players, you know, to this standard.
Absolutely.
Listen, Jerry Jones is violating his players' constitutional rights by not giving them the right to protest. ESPN is violating Jemele Hill's constitutional rights by not allowing her freedom of speech.
Like, how is she not supposed to talk about what everyone is talking about and not have a feeling about
that? Absolutely. She didn't say boycott. She just said, tell them your opinions.
Which is a fact.
She said,
go to the advertisers. Which is a fact.
And she didn't say boycott and tell them to pull their advertising. She just said, you can express yourself.
Express yourself and express your feelings. Hey, Chris, what do you think?
Hey, man, I think that they have the right at least to defend Jemele Hill. She's an agent of ESPN. They're the largest sports broadcasting company ever. And she's telling folks that don't buy from these advertisers for this sports company.
That's not what she said.
Or sports team. No, she said boycott the advertisers.
She's not calling for a boycott.
That's not what she said, sir.
She's not calling for what she said.
I'm going to read you the exact tweet. She said, if you strongly reject what Jerry Jones said, the key is his advertisers. Don't place the burden squarely on his players. Then she tweeted, just so we're clear, I'm not advocating an NFL boycott, but an unfair burden has been put on players in Dallas and Miami with anthem directives.
Right. She's not advocating an NFL boycott. She's advocating boycotting Jerry Jones' advertisers.
No,
so he doesn't get money.
She said, call the advertisers and express your feelings.
Well, she didn't say call. She just said the key is the advertisers.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, I'm just going to say my name is Jay because I don't want to put my son out there like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I asked him, we were listening to this on the way to school, and I was asking him how he felt about it. You know, when the anthem is played, is he going to take a knee? Is he going to, you know, stand? What is he going to do? And his response was, Mom, I'm the only black player on the team, you know, and for him to be in that situation as far as, you know, first of all, he is truly a key player on the team. But for him to be in that situation where he's torn, that's kind of disheartening to me. I know what he's 15.
Mm-hmm. Man. I mean, yeah. I get it. So, I understand. All he got to do is tell him to tell his team that he's Jehovah's Witness. He converted to Jehovah's Witness over the weekend, and we don't pledge to the allegiance. I haven't pledged to the flag.
No.
I've never pledged to the flag. I grew up Jehovah's Witness.
Wow.
Just say you're Jehovah's Witness.
Hello, who's this?
This is Tanika. I live in Connecticut. I'm so proud of you, Charlamagne. I just got your book the other day. I totally am for the petty party. I believe we should call all day. She's in her proper forum. She has an open mic. She should speak her voice. She should speak her truth. She should not be chastised or reprimanded, or her job should not be at stake. It's nobody safe out here. You have an opinion. You have the right to speak freely and not voice it in a way that you're not hurting anyone. You're absolutely right. No one's getting hurt. She's telling people the truth, and we're afraid of the truth now.
And I agree with that. And by the way, man, the only person that should be suspended for their tweets is Donald Trump. That's like, can Donald Trump get suspended from something for 2 weeks?
It doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, not from his job.
585-1051. We're talking Jemele Hill. Should she have been suspended? Call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, Jemele Hill from ESPN, she was suspended for 2 weeks for some tweets she put online. Now, Charlamagne, read the tweets right fast. You got them up. I know you do.
Yes, the tweets are, Jemele tweeted out, if you strongly reject what Jerry Jones said, the key is his advertisers. Don't place the burden square on the players. Then she tweeted, just so we're clear, I'm not advocating an NFL boycott, but an unfair burden has been put on players in Dallas and Miami with anthem directives. And I totally agree. Like, I feel like Jerry Jones, and you know I'm a Dallas Cowboy fanatic, but Jerry Jones is violating his players' constitutional rights to protest, and now ESPN is violating Jemele Hill's constitutional right to freedom of speech. And what else bothers me about this, she didn't even say this on ESPN, she said this on her social media.
Right.
Like, I don't feel like ESPN should have anything to do with her social media. As long as she's not saying anything that's going to get somebody hurt or killed, she should have the right to free speech.
Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Danielle in Minnesota.
Hey,
good
mama.
Good morning, Charlamagne, Angela Lee.
Good morning.
DJ Envy.
What's up, baby?
We're talking Jemele Hill. Should she have been suspended?
You know, I really think that she should take this suspension on the chin and sue the company for violation of her constitutional rights this morning.
I agree.
Right, and Judge Madison says you would probably win that lawsuit.
Uh-huh, and I think anybody else would be ostracized for speaking out against, you know, injustices and violation of their constitutional rights and others' constitutional rights should also sue. And I think we need to get this on the board. This isn't something that we should keep sitting down and taking lightly. The knee is wonderful, keep taking it, but there's also other actions. We need to start getting this before, you know, some Supreme Court judges. And I know we're probably going to lose because our celebrity achievements made it possible to put the people in the office to make sure we lose. But we got to get this on the book.
I just see everybody's constitutional rights being violated.
And
everybody.
For ESPN, this would be a great topic for them to actually have on the show to discuss.
But they
this.
Whack and they not authentic and they fake. So they're not going to discuss the real things that everybody's talking about.
Yeah, aside from what they care about, this would be great for their ratings. Like, for them to actually have a real conversation about this.
Absolutely.
Hello, hello, who's this?
Hello?
Hey, we're talking Jemele Hill. Should she have been suspended?
Hey, man, I'm from Alabama, right? And I'm a lawyer. The constitutional right of free speech, it doesn't apply to, like, private entities and private companies. So while she does have the right to say that in public places, ESPN can still hold her accountable for saying those, because I'm pretty sure she signed like some type of contract saying that her views should not like disagree with the views of the company or something like that, or she basically signed those rights away when she took that job. You know, like free speech, like if you're standing outside, you can say whatever you want to say, but if you're inside a business, you can't do that. Just like the NBA has the rule that you have to stand up for the national anthem. That's their rule. They can make that rule.
I mean, you're probably right. I don't know what kind of contract Jemele Hill has signed. I just think that if you tweet something in opposition to actually something that's going on in your field, this is Jerry Jones, the owner of the most storied franchise in the NFL, especially at least the richest franchise in the NFL, my favorite franchise, the Dallas Cowboys. How can you expect a sports anchor, a sports person, not to comment on that?
No, I agree with you. This is something that she has to talk about. This is what you pay her to do. I worked at a job before that told me that if I talked about Donald Trump, I could be fired.
Wow.
Now, I talked about Donald Trump, but, I mean, they didn't fire me. But I was like, you can't tell me what not to talk about and what to talk about. And that's what you're paying me for.
I totally agree. And if ESPN does have some rule in place where their personalities can't talk about politics, how can they not talk about politics when politics are talking about them? Right. Donald Trump is up this morning tweeting about Jemele Hill and ESPN. How are they just going to ignore that?
But what's the moral of the story?
The moral of the story is this, and this is from George Washington. If freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent, we may be led like sheep to the slaughter. I'm all for freedom of speech, baby. I may not even agree with what you're saying when you're saying it.
But you have the right to say it.
I agree with your right to say it.
Right.
As long as ain't nobody getting killed or nobody getting hurt because of your free speech, talk.
All right, now, we got rumors on the way, Yee?
Well, let's talk about Tyrese and his freedom of speech. We'll tell you what's going on with him on social media versus The Rock. And now Tink has somehow made his way into the midst of all this.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Nelly's rape accuser.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yo.
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
And before we get into that, I want to point out that today is World Mental Health Day. So they are raising awareness about mental health issues around the world. More than 300 million people suffer from depression and 260 million people suffer from anxiety disorders around the world. So I just want to let you guys know today's World Mental Health Day.
Well, Donald Trump thanks you for the reminder.
All right. Yeah, he definitely needs some help. All right. Nelly's rape accuser is saying that she is being bullied so harshly in the media that they feel like it is a crime. Now, her attorney is saying that right now she's being intimidated, and she's saying it's criminal when those vicious attacks are issued in the form of threats. And a lot of people are saying just negative things to her, and basically she feels like it's morally reprehensible for an accused person and his bully lawyer to issue derogatory and defamatory statements against a young alleged rape victim.
Well, maybe I missed this part, but who's Nelly's rape accuser? I don't know who she is.
We don't know who she is, but her attorney
is
saying...
So how is she getting bullied in the media? I don't even know who she is.
We just know that she's 21 years old from Seattle. That's all they've revealed about her so far.
Wow. I can really narrow it down now.
Right.
Like, that don't even make any sense. How you being bullied in the media if we don't even know who you are?
I don't know
what she looks like. Don't know her name.
Now, Donna Karan has apologized, and that's for some comments that she made about Harvey Weinstein. We told you about his whole scandal over 30 years of sexually harassing women, and a lot of people like Ashley Judd, Rose McGowan have come forward. Also, different assistants that he has had that said that he would just be naked and asked to be bathed and get a massage. Well, here is what Donna Karan said during a red carpet interview about Harvey Weinstein.
How do we present ourselves as women? What are we asking? Are we asking for it? You know, by presenting all the sensuality and all the sexuality?
I'm being punked.
Come on.
I got between Wendy Williams comments, her, and NeNe Leakes, I got to be being punked. Why are women being rape apologists?
She also said that Harvey Weinstein and his wife, Georgina Chapman, are wonderful people. And the issue just isn't with him himself. Hmm. Now, she has since released a statement yesterday saying, my statements were taken out of context. How? And do not represent how I feel about the current situation concerning Harvey Weinstein. I believe that sexual harassment is not acceptable, and this is an issue that must be addressed once and for all, regardless of the individual.
I just want to point out that all the women who look strong in the face are the ones being rape apologists and making light of rape this week. I just want to throw that out.
No, my goodness.
Now, Rose McGowan had tweeted, Donna Karen, you are a deplorable. Aiding and abetting is a moral crime. You are scum in a fancy dress. All right, Kodak Black has been indicted on sexual conduct charges. He's facing new criminal charges, and that is for sexual misconduct with a teenager. This goes back to February 2016. A hotel in South Carolina, a woman is accusing him of sexually assaulting her, pushing her into a wall onto a bed, and then biting her neck and breast before forcibly having sex with her. We've heard these charges previously, so now he's being indicted on those charges. He's facing up to 30 years in prison if convicted.
You win, ye. Round of applause for Angela Yee.
Why is it that?
That was Rumor Report Tic-Tac-Toe. Three rape stories in a row.
Oh, boom. My goodness.
She got it.
All right. Now let's get into The Rock and Tank
this
versus
This is a rape, too, by the
Tyrese.
Way.
Tyrese.
You know
this
right.
is not a rape.
No, it's not.
This is a rape.
All right. So apparently Tank has hit up The Rock and is asking for some work. Now, The Rock said, we see you, brother, at The Real Tank. Iron Beast, it's been very cool to see so many texting me to join our spinoff and have fun.
So Tank is asking
Hobbs,
for consent.
Shaw, yes, he said, okay. Tank said, somebody tell The Rock that I'm ready for the Hobbs movie right now. Cast a real savage. Thanks for your consideration.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And Tank said, having a real fan moment at the moment, guys. The Rock spoke on my request. If it goes no further than this, God, I'm thankful. Blessing to you, brother. Hobbs.
Now, this was just a bunch of petty tweets directed to Tyrese. Okay, Tyrese Gibson. They were both being petty. They jumped Tyrese last night. And I would not stand by and let them jump Joe.
Now,
okay.
let's say
they put Tank on Fast and Furious and drop Tyrese now.
They're not going to do that.
Now, Tank said, as an actor, you're saying it's wrong for me to ask for a job. Out of all the major actors I know, do you know how many of them have ever offered me a job to even pick up the trash in one of their movies? None. I have to fight and scrape for every role I get, and I prefer it that way. Please let me do my job, as I will never interrupt you doing yours. Blessing. So he's saying he's not being petty. Now, The Rock posted...
They gonna fight.
The Rock posted this, and many people took this as a shot at Tyrese as well.
Putting in work. Big dogs eat. Little crying puppy stay on the porch.
We're not going to let them jump Jody. I'm going to call Sweet Pea right now. We're going to get Jody's bike back, goddammit.
Well, Tyrese then posted himself on Instagram on a mock-up cover of Forbes magazine. Tyrese, say hello to the new billionaire multimedia king. Tyrese tells us how he rose from the ghetto, kept his dream alive, and turned Voltron Enterprises into a multimedia, multi-billion dollar
Tyrese,
empire.
Tyrese, Black tie, my brother. Call me before you do stuff like that. Let me coach you through this. All
now,
right?
Tyrese captioned it, when your source is God, when you're in the midst of a multimedia empire, you will sleep good at night.
All right.
When you live, eat, and move in your truth.
God is ignoring
I got God.
All
for those of you who don't know what that means, I ain't got no worries.
God
there
ain't
you go.
Attention
faith
to you,
surpasses all
Tank,
fears. All hashtag up. Mock up Forbes cover. Hashtag vision board. Hashtag empire builder. Hashtag activist.
Okay, ye.
Hashtag
okay, ye.
Voice for
all
the
right,
unspoken.
Ye.
Oh, hashtag family.
Nah, if I'm The Rock, I'm going to get on Fortune for real. I'm going to have my agent call them tomorrow, and I'm saying, look, put me on the cover of Fortune right now.
Mm-mm-mm.
All right? Just to be extra
petty. You don't
want to
be that petty.
Why not?
Just let it go.
If you're the highest paid actor in Hollywood, and you're The Rock, and you got the cash that he got, clearly he's petty, because you see him tweeting Tank.
Right.
You probably know who the hell Tank was. You probably think Tank's an MMA fighter.
Tank
he
was.
Has, yeah, he knows Tank's Tyrese's friend. That's where it stops. If I was him, I'd be trying to get on the cover of Fortune or Forbes, whatever that was Tyrese did right now.
I would put Tank in the Hobbs movie.
And last but not least, I want to close it with a couple of things. Janae Aiko with her new tattoo of Big Sean's face on her arm. Did you guys love it? Big Sean had on a bow tie.
Have no problem with that.
That's a dope tattoo.
Drop on the clues bombs with Big Sean. I don't know why she got Big Sean as a Muslim on her arm, but, but everything else is cool.
And make sure you watch the BET Hip Hop Awards that will be on tonight. So just giving you guys that gentle reminder. They did film that in Miami on Friday, and that will air tonight on BET.
Does Big Sean have to stay with her now?
Yes.
He can't break up with her. No,
a lot of people have tattoos and had to get those tattoos covered up.
But it's one thing getting a name, but you got somebody's whole face.
Whole face.
I ain't seen that kind of love.
I never noticed that he had two earrings until I saw this tattoo.
I ain't seen that kind of love since Baby and Wayne and Drake. Whatever they got going on, they tattoo each other's faces.
This must be her favorite picture of him, too, because you got to tattoo somebody's favorite picture on your arm.
Right.
It can't be just... All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, I'm just going to give you a gentle reminder. The People's Choice mixes up next. What the hell is a gentle reminder? That's what she said, gentle reminder. I said, what's a gentle reminder?
Everything else was so harsh just now. I just felt like, let's make it more gentle.
All right, well, a gentle
just a little pride.
The People's Choice mixes up next. Let me know what you want to hear. 800-585-1051 at DJ Envy. And another gentle reminder, shout out to Revolt. We'll see you guys tomorrow, all right? It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.